Friends, would you please stand as we read the Lord's Word? We are reading from the book of Titus, chapter 2. Again, a little letter written to the church, to Titus, who was pastoring or organizing the church on the island of Crete. Listen now to the Lord's Word. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Amen. Please be seated, friends. Again, O Lord, now bless your word going forward in this preacher. Give us ears to hear and place your words in my mouth that your people would be built up, edified, encouraged, strengthened, admonished, and all of these things that they would need. You, Lord, know them all. You know all these things, and pray now that you would minister to your people. I do ask these things humbly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, the Apostle Paul, writing to Titus, has been addressing the importance of how different groups within the church should be living in the light of the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ has come from heaven to set us free from sin, friends, to set us free from its guilt, from its power, the consequence of death, the wrath of God, the final judgment, should not only mean something to you, but ought to affect how you and I live in the current situations in which we find ourselves. And I want to remind you again, because Paul, speaking to Titus, is urging Titus that in your everyday conversation, when you're mixing with the people of the congregation, you should be urging them, imploring them, putting upon them the obligations that are theirs in light of the gospel. You're supposed to speak things that are in line with gospel truth. That means how we live, where we are in our station in life, is how we're supposed to respond to the gospel. So he says this, so older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young, and we said, the young married women, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. I want you to remember that Crete is a very dark place, spiritually. Culturally, it's a place of great depravity. They are known to be liars and evil beasts and lazy gluttons. And here, we, as the Lord's people, are now new creatures in Christ. We've been delivered out from underneath our sin in order to serve our Lord and to be his witnesses. We are called as a church in Lander, Riverton, out on the reservation. We are called to witness the truth of Jesus Christ in the world in which we live. That's our job. That's our job. The only one who's not doing it, and I would not expect to do it, is the person who doesn't know Jesus Christ. But if you profess the name of Jesus Christ, and you say, well, he is my Savior, then it is expected that you should live in a particular manner. It is expected that you should live in a particular manner. We are called to overcome evil with good, not to be squeezed into the mold of the world around us, not to take on its characteristics, its attitudes, its behaviors, or to embrace the lies of the culture in which we live. But we are supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So those who are in Sunday school, notice this again, the means of grace. What is it that transforms our minds? It's the Word of God. This is why we sit and listen to the Word preached. This is why we should be coming to Sunday school. This is why we should, if you have a Bible, read it. If you don't have a Bible, see me after church. I'll give you a Bible. The idea is that Christians should be in the Word. Why? Because God reveals himself to us in the Word so that we would stop thinking we're the center of reality and come to reality and know that God himself is the one who is real and determines reality. So we are not to be transformed or conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is what, my friends, we must take to heart and ask ourselves. And I put this as a challenge to you to examine yourself at this point. Am I living in such a manner that my life puts the things of the Lord in a good light or a bad light? I'd like you to ask yourself that. Am I living in such a manner that my life puts the things of the Lord in a good light or a bad light? Would someone observing my behavior, hearing my speech, seeing how I treat others, be more or less likely to visit a worship service? Would they be more or less likely to want to know about the Lord? That's a question to ask yourself, right? What we do, how we live, affects the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. What we do and how we live affects what people think of the church. It matters how you live. This morning, eventually, we're going to be getting into instruction about younger men and how they should live their lives in the light of the gospel. But before we do, I felt the necessity to address a group in the church that the apostle does not mention specifically in this text, and that would be younger single women. Younger single women. Here, as you look at this text of scripture, Titus is supposed to address younger women and their husbands, how they respond to their husbands, their children, and their homes. But what if, like a number of our younger ladies, what if you're not married? What if you don't have children? What if you are living on your own? What if you're living with your parents? What if you live in someone else's house? What if you're somewhere between high school graduation and marriage? What about that single woman? Is there any instruction to be given to her? What are you supposed to do and how are you supposed to live? Perhaps you want to be married, but Mr. Wright has never come knocking on your door. Interestingly, by the way, speaking of being forced into the mold of the world around us, we heard this past week on the news, one computer dating site is saying things have changed. It's now very appropriate for women to ask men out for dates. This is what she said. And so this is wonderful. Men are very happy to let women ask them out on dates. Women, don't ask men out on dates. I realize that's the culture in which we live, and they said a number of other things that were just surprising, startling, which I won't mention in this context. Women don't ask men out on dates. And the reason oftentimes men are happy to let women ask them out, because men are always happy to abdicate and let a woman do something. Don't ask men out on dates. And men, if you're single and you want to ask a girl out on a date, step up to the plate and ask. And don't be timid. All that aside, I ask the question, why doesn't the apostle address this group of young women? And it very well may be, and I found this actually in a book as I was preparing. One scholar said this, the old Roman ideal was for women to pass from the subjection of father to the subjection of their husbands. And Livy, the Roman historian, said this: "Never, while their men survive, is feminine subjection shaken off, and they themselves abhor the freedom which the loss of husbands and fathers produce." It very well may have been simply that women were under the headship of either their fathers or their husbands. They were not nearly, if at all, as mobile as today's women. You notice we're a very different culture than they were 2,000 years ago. Now, women go wherever women want to go. Women work wherever they want to work. They do whatever they want to do. And so we're saying, why isn't the apostle addressing us? And I say very simply, because as he was addressing older men, and he's addressing younger men, and he's addressing these various groups, it is assumed that the women were either under the headship of their father or under the headship of a husband. And so he's not neglecting them, but that was the order of the home. That was the structure. What we see in our day is we've broken out of those things, and we can debate whether we think that's good or not. It is never good, let me say, to throw off the structure that God has put. We have to remember this, that God is good, and God is wise, and God does things and says things that don't make a lot of sense to us sometimes, especially in light of the worldly culture in which we've been basking. Clearly, though, the scriptures deal with younger women. He has dealt with the married younger women, and there are certain aspects that apply to you. Before we get into the younger men, I felt the necessity to have to address this because we have a number of younger ladies in our congregation who no doubt, like everyone else, would like to have some instruction from the Lord's word. And let me say on the front side that as I consider the younger ladies in our congregation, I am vastly encouraged. Vastly encouraged, because in large measure you are doing what the Lord would instruct. And on the front side, I would say and encourage you, don't stop. Keep on the path that you're on, and be encouraged by these things. I'm looking at a variety of passages, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Timothy 5, 1 Timothy 2, and 1 Peter 3, drawing from them. Listen to here to what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35. This speaks to both men and women. It says, "But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord." Friends, when you're married, your attention is split. Your attention is split between the things of the Lord and a family. That's not bad. That's just a fact. That's the way it should be. If you're married, you need to act like a married person. Right? We've all seen young couples get married and she still wants to hang out with her girlfriends and he still wants to hang out with his buddies. It doesn't work that way. You get married, you're married. You are your best friends, and you must cultivate that very thing. There are so many people who think, well, it's just a social contract and I can chuck it. No, you can't. No, you can't. This is the Lord's design. And he says, when you're married, you pay attention at home now. Your attention is divided. But if you aren't married, you're able to devote your time even more so, minus your regular duties, to the Lord's service. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Think of this, young people. Think of this, single people. This is what the Lord is saying. When you're married, your attention is divided. When you're not married, though, you're able to devote yourself more so to the Lord's service. This is a fact, and it directs our single ladies what you ought to be thinking. Now again, consider our world. Isn't it so cute that we have boundless television shows celebrating people indulging their flesh? That's what we see all the time. Single men, single women. Yeah, I'm traveling to the Caribbean. Yeah, I'm going to stay up and drink all night. Yeah, I'm going to party. And women doing the same thing. As if this was good. As if this was normal. And we were all being encouraged to look out for ourselves. Young women acting like divas. So special. They've got money. They've got careers. No one's holding them back. Now is the time to sow the wild oats. Now is the time to indulge their sinful flesh. Single people are being destroyed in the current worldly system. You hear me? All the glamour that they portray these things. Where are the television cameras when the girl's got scars and she can't have children now? Where are the television cameras when they show the woman who's been hooked on alcohol because of her partying lifestyle? Where are the television cameras that show the women who have been used by so many men, they can't even get close to a man now because they're all swine? You want to see what's going on in our culture? Look at the fruit of the demonic doctrines we've bought into. And don't tell me that that's freedom. It's slavery. And we're destroying our people. We're destroying single people. Parents encourage them that because now they're not held down, that they ought to go on and live their lives. Because as this woman said, you know, we have ways of dealing with pregnancies now and diseases. There's nothing holding us back. And you should probably enjoy intimacy with a person before you decide you want to date them. This is what this lady's saying. Are you kidding me? And this is mainline media saying this stuff? Boy, I've been in la-la land. It's terrible. Sensual, self-centered, this look-at-me culture. I've decided I'm coming up with a new phrase called the Kardashian syndrome. And it's the need to record your every exploit and have the world watch it with you. I mean, this is our culture. And this is what young ladies are being encouraged with. Should Christian young ladies be this way? Should Christian single women be this way? Friends, listen, if you're not married and you don't have children, you have no one technically you're responsible to go love and care for. Your focus must be upon the Lord who saved you and upon others around you. I would think that the apostle would urge single women to be sensible, just like he has the others, to be self-controlled and sober-minded, unlike the Hollywood divas of our age and those who want to be like them. As a single person, listen to me very specifically, as a single person, until the Lord sends a young man into your life, your focus should be upon the Lord and what the Lord wants, and you should be busy serving him. Until the Lord sends a young man into your life, young ladies, be busy about serving the Lord. It's not rocket science. It's actually quite beautiful. In 1 Corinthians 7, here's some ideas. You're set apart for the Lord. You're to be holy in body and in spirit. Hear me when I say this, and much of this, friends, applies to single men as well. This double standard that we do see, and there is a double standard in this culture. It's okay for men to act like dogs and go to try to be with 100 different women. In fact, we hear this about our athletes, right? Our athletes come out and say, oh yeah, I've conquered 20,000 women. That ought to repulse you. We're smiling at that junk? That's awful. That means you violated 20,000 women who weren't your wife, somebody else's little girl? How dare you? You celebrate this, and we think this is good? It's garbage. I'm saying it. You need to be sexually pure. Keep your pants up, keep your skirts down, and your eyes don't belong on anyone else's naked body on television, in the theater, or anywhere else. Ever! We need to turn from this garbage. This smut is gutting the Lord's church. And it's destroying marriages so that two people can't enter into marriage without having a history of baggage. It's awful. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. You can hold a girl's hand before you marry her. You can give her a peck on the cheek before you marry her. You don't dare lay a hand on her in an impure way. And girls, don't try to catch a guy by being immoral with them. He doesn't respect it. Don't do it. Keep yourselves sexually pure. Don't put yourselves in positions where you will be compromised or where you will compromise yourself. And listen to me, because I know that there's just so much scar, so much baggage, even in this congregation. Friends, there is tremendous forgiveness from the Lord. Go and sin no more. You've bought into the worldly system. It's a lie. Don't go there anymore. Jesus forgives you and Jesus washes you. Listen, if you have that romantic tendency in your gut and you want to be held by a man and you want to have babies, get married. Start praying for a husband, put the welcome mat out, and wait on the Lord. And then keep the engagement period short. It's better to go to the altar uncompromised than to have the beautiful wedding dress that means absolutely squat. Be sexually pure. Take care of yourself physically. Hear me, I'm not talking out of the two sides of my mouth. You want to get married, don't you? Fix up. Fix up. Fix your hair. Pinch the cheeks. Put a little makeup on. Watch what you eat. Eat healthy. Remember, your body's going to belong to somebody else. Get some exercise. But don't get crazy. Your adornment must not be merely external, says the Bible. 1 Peter 3:3. Hope in the Lord. This is the kind of thing you should be cultivating, young ladies. Like the women of old, Mary, Martha, Esther, Sarah, Moses' mother, like the women who used to support the Lord Jesus out of their own means. Take time to walk with the Lord, read his word, meditate upon his words, go to him in prayer. Go to him in prayer. Adorn the hidden person of your heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. Notice that, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. Everything that the women of this world are not. Not gentle and quiet, but they're loudmouths and they're brutes. In fact, you want a fact? I'll give you a fact. I was sitting down paying my car insurance one day. State Farm insurance lady said to me, "Did you know that women are worse drivers than men?" It's coming from a woman. Now hear me out. She says, "Women are worse drivers than men." And I said, "Well, how come the woman's insurance rate is so much lower than men's?" She goes, "Actually, it's starting to become comparable." She goes, "Originally, women had more accidents, but they were little things, like bumping into a car behind them they didn't see or something that was in their blind spot." She says, "Men are crazy. That's why their rates are so high. They don't do the little things. They try to jump a gully by speeding up the car, and they end up in a ditch. So the men's accidents are bigger, the women's are smaller, but the women's are less expensive." She says, "We've seen a disturbing trend in these days," and this was probably 2-3 years ago I spoke to this or my agent, and she said, "Yeah, the disturbing trend is that women are becoming more like men in their driving habits now. They're doing the same stupid things that men historically have done." That's the women of the world. But we're told that a gentle and quiet spirit is precious in the sight of God. Ladies, that's what you should be working on, a gentle and quiet spirit, because your hope is in the Lord and not in entrapment. The women of this world are loudmouths. They're spewing rubbish. Their feet don't stay at home. They do what is evil. You are called not to imitate what is evil. You are not to be idle. Too much time on your hands. You tend to hop around from this place to that place to be gossips and busybodies and talk about things that are not proper. That is taken, by the way, directly from 1 Timothy chapter 5. That's not me calling out names upon any of you women sitting here or upon the women in our culture. I'm just saying that this is what happens. And that's the kind of thing that causes the world to look at the church and say, oh, they're so irrelevant. But this is, you know, this is all true. You women have listened to the women in the grocery store. Oh, well, I can't say for sure, but I've heard that. And you just go on, tearing down people. You're not to be this way, young ladies, single women. You're to be self-controlled, not under the influence of our age. You're to carry yourself with a reverent behavior, to watch your tongue, not to be gossipy, to not be enslaved to much wine, and if you're below the age to drink, you ought not to be drinking. That's the law. You are to speak those things which are good and true and edifying. Show kindness to others, think about others, do not merely think about yourself. In fact, one area of application I can think of that young ladies can help, single ladies can help other women, is that have you ever considered babysitting for some of our young mothers who have a lot of children who are tired and need just a break? And you can go in and you can babysit and say, no, no, go for a few hours. Your kids are going to be fine. I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm going to take care of everything. I'm here. We had a Dina who stepped into our home. And when we needed a date, we got a date. And this lady, she was tough. She didn't give inches. I appreciated it. She was a good Christian woman. Young ladies, honor your father and your mother. You're still under subjection, either a husband or a father. You need to honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth, says Paul in Ephesians 6. Do you have grandparents or parents who need help? Help them, says Paul. Learn to practice piety in regard to your own family, 1 Timothy 5:4. Be known for good works, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, assisting those in distress, being devoted to every good work. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 5 says these very things. This is what women should be known for, married or not. This is what you're supposed to be known for. Notice that you should be doing what married women are supposed to do, minus the husband and the children. Your focus is more so on the things of the Lord. The married woman has to focus upon her husband and her children. Single ladies, contentedly serve the Lord now and don't wait until a man comes around before you start. Rather, live like a daughter of the great king and stay the course until the Lord interrupts it with a man. At which time your attentions will be divided and you will need to focus the bulk of your energies on your home. My friends, do you understand? When you are the Lord's, when you're the Lord's, you live for the Lord, and we no longer focus our attentions upon ourselves. We die to self, and we follow Christ. That's universally the Christian truth. We stop focusing upon ourselves, and we start focusing upon the Lord. We love because He first loved us. We love others because He loves us. The consumer mindset of our age is the polar opposite of what we are to be about. And so with single women, we see the glamour queens sitting around on the beach with their hair fixed and their nails polished, waiting for Prince Charming to somehow show up. That's not the picture we get in the scriptures of what a Christian woman should be about. Focus on serving the Lord because you get to. Be in subjection to your fathers. If you have a father and you're a single lady here and your father's in the picture, be in subjection to your father. I would call him often and ask his counsel, ask his advice, seek his direction. If you don't have a father any longer and you're a single lady, be in subjection to the Lord. And listen to the encouragement of your elders in the Lord. We step in the place. And we should be looked to like fathers and brothers. And then to my brothers in the Lord, I say, we have to look at these single young women and we need to care for them. We need to demonstrate kindness to them. We need to protect them and pursue them with all purity. Just keeping an eye. They're our charge. So that we would care for them. That's not universally the case, is it? It's usually the case that women are taken advantage of in our culture. And in the church, they are not to be taken advantage of, but cared for. You don't have to bring a young man home to meet just one person. You got to bring a young man home to meet the approval of the whole body of men in the church. That could be intimidating. It's a good thing. That's how the Lord cares for his people. So you're probably saying, boy, he's just wailed on the women. It's time to wail on the men. Not really. I want to say that as I was going through this, as with our younger single people, I am vastly encouraged by our young single men as well. Really, what a blessing, because you are already doing many of these things. And yet, we need to be careful. Titus, I want you to tell the young single men, the young men, likewise urge the young men to be sensible. Here's the instruction that Titus is to give to the younger men. It's brief. It's very brief, but it's all-inclusive. This is urged of overseers, that is, the elders of the church. It is urged upon older men in verse 2, of the younger women in verse 4, and implied of the older women in verse 3. Again, the word is sensible. Urge them to be sensible. That is, to be self-controlled, to be sane, to use common sense or good judgment. There is some debate over whether in all things belongs with verse 6 towards young men or in verse 7 towards Titus. However, I don't think it makes much difference if one remembers that being sensible is not something we have to have in just one area of our life and not another. The implication is that if a man is to be self-controlled, he should be self-controlled in all things. And here Titus is urging, or to urge, the younger men to earnestly, to urge them, that is, to earnestly entreat them to be self-controlled in their lives. That is, again, young men, live your lives in every facet as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see, it's not just true of women, it is true of men as well. Listen to what Peter says. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking, and abominable idolatries. Paul would say elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 4, he had this to say. If you would listen to verses 17 through 24, he says this. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Let me speak to the men in this congregation. It is very easy to be easy on ourselves. The expectation in our culture is so low for men that we easily hit the mark every time. culture expects men to be nothing more than stray cats, having loose morals, beer-guzzling, can-crunching oafs, who get married because they still need a mommy. That is, in brief, what men are portrayed as being, and it is a reputation not without a good amount of justification in our culture. Many men are swines. Many men are worthless fellows. They use their position as men to take advantage of others in their weakness, to use their authority to control, to manipulate situations to the advantage of themselves, regardless of what happens and what it does to others. Whereas they ought to be using their position as the king of the jungle to be protecting, providing, and caring for those who are weaker. Paul says in Ephesians 4, "But you did not, my brothers, learn Christ in this way." Here's the culture saying this is what men are. Here's the Bible saying this is what men are supposed to be. The culture is saying to you, men, look after yourself. Bury yourself in your hobbies. You're not all that important to your family anyway. Everyone knows that in the home, mom is the one who really decides everything. This is what the world is saying. You can't possibly be expected to be faithful to one woman. That's asking too much of a man. He's supposed to wander. I mean, you hear anthropologists say things like this. Well, he's designed to be a wanderer. That keeps the gene pool diverse. Who comes up with this stuff? I'll tell you who comes up with it. Scientists who aren't really scientists, who like to get money and want to justify their immoral lifestyles. That's who's saying these things. That's not the way it was designed from the beginning. Right? You didn't learn Christ this way, my brothers. I want you to consider Jesus Christ, who, according to Matthew 26:53, he had more than 12 legions of angels that were at his disposal. 12 legions, more than 12 legions. A legion is 6,000. He had 72,000 angels at his disposal. He could have called down. I mean, talk about flexing. He could have flexed and popped every one of their heads. But instead, he's led on purpose, purposefully. He allows himself to be led away like a lamb to the slaughter. He played the role of a real man, and he washed the feet of his people. And by his strong arms, right, he conquered the grave. He's the perfect man, Jesus Christ. You are to be sensible. You are to be self-controlled. You are to be sane. You are not to be controlled by your lust like some sort of Samson who just had to have that girl. I gotta have her, Daddy. Get her for me. You're not supposed to be some Ahab who just had to have that vineyard and so manipulated his wife so that she would go and hire a couple of worthless thugs so that Naboth could be falsely accused and so her pathetic husband could grab his little vineyard. You're not supposed to be like an Uzziah who couldn't handle being told no because of his pride, so that he tried to do what only the priests were supposed to do. He wouldn't submit. He was above it all. Much of what was said earlier in the sermon to our single women applies to you as well. My brothers, don't imitate the man in the movies, and don't imitate the man you find in country music. But imitate the man you find in the scriptures. Imitate Jesus Christ. Imitate those noble men who took up their crosses and followed Jesus Christ. Imitate the likes of Timothy. Imitate the likes of a Paul, of a Titus, of a Luke, of a Tychicus, of Moses, of Barnabas. Men who gladly would lose their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ in order to find their lives in the very end. The world expects you to be abdicators. And by and large, men are abdicators. We're only too happy to let the women do everything and we'll sit back and eat the fruit of their labors. But that's not what the men in the Bible were like. These were men who loved other people so much so they would lay their lives down to protect them. What happened on the Titanic was not the men saying, "Ooh, me first, me first." It was the men saying, "Women and children to the boats." And the men went down with the boat. That's the way it's supposed to be, men. Lay your life down for this woman. Lay your lives down for your children. You are called to die for them. And not to make them. To be your life. To be your support. You're supposed to be supporting them. You're supposed to be caring for them. Don't be controlled by your lust. Don't be controlled by the world. Don't be conformed to the world's image. I give to you now some brief application, first to the married men and then to the single men. If you are a married man, you must act like a married man should act. Use your authority to bless your wife and your children. You are the head of your home, but I don't feel like the head of my home. You are the head of your home. Now act like it. Act like it. Use your authority to bless them. Leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. You've made a new home. When you said, "I do," you made a new home. Live like it. Cherish your wives. Date her. Date, not hate. Date her. Help her. Help her with chores. You realize, don't you, that when you're gone for the day, she's been working the whole time? And you're going to come home and say, "Well, now I don't need to work because I've already done my work." Guess what? You get to go to work and you get to come home and go to work. That's what we do. Work is good. Embrace it. Date her, help her, work hard to provide for her. You will do the most for your children by loving their mother. You will do the most for your children by loving their mother. When you go to work, work hard, work with integrity. Work 6 days, rest for one. You hear me? Work 6 days, rest for one. Your work is not merely your 9-to-5 job. Your work is also maintaining the oversight in your home. So when you come home, don't vegetate in front of the television or some hobby. You might have to do something. You might need that recreation, a little bit of refreshment. That's okay. But you understand a little bit of honey is good. But you try to chug the whole bottle of honey, you will vomit. That is a proverb. Too much recreation, too much entertainment will make you vomit. And it should. When you come home, you are to serve some more. Serve your wife, serve your children by talking to them, by playing with them. And friends, listen to me. Brothers, listen to me. I know you're busy. But if you're too busy to go to church, if you're too busy to serve the Lord, you're just too busy and you need to cut something out and you shouldn't be cutting out the things of the Lord. It's time to cut back on something else. You too must take the lead in the things of the Lord. Don't be an abdicator, the guy who lets the church be the woman's thing. Gentlemen, it is time that you grab your wife's hand. It is time for you to wrap your children up in your arms, to pray with them, to pray for them, to look them in the eyes, and to tell them the great things that the Lord has done. When she is scared, you remind her of the precious promises of the Lord. When your children come running to you in the middle of the night because of a thunderstorm, you tell them this true doctrine, that lightning is God's lightning, and God will not forsake his people. Do not forsake the Lord's worship, not for hunting, not for sports, not for vacation. Don't neglect the service of the Lord because of your hobbies. Hold the things of the Lord in your home in top priority. Your calling is no mere paycheck. You are called to die for your wife and your children. Please, please, please step up to the plate and swing away. It's your job. It's your calling. How well do you think your wife is going to do if you're not protecting her and providing that covering that she needs? Help make it happen. Act like a man and step up to the plate and be willing to take a punch in the nose. Do it for the sake of the souls of your children, and do it for the sake of those souls that still sit in darkness that someday your children might be the missionaries to. And to our single men, if you have not been blessed to find Mrs. Wright yet, don't think that you are in a position to indulge your flesh. You too are to be self-controlled and sensible. You too are to value the things of the Lord, to know the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to study His word. You too are to work hard. You are to budget your money. And don't spend it all on yourself, but look after others and share with those in need. Listen to me. Don't squander your time gaming. Again, a little bit of honey is okay. Don't squander your time gaming or in front of the television or with movies. You're called to self-control. A movie a week, maybe two. You too should be taking advantage of the time that you have, like our single sisters, to minister to others. After all, you have the privilege to be able to devote more time to the Lord. That's what you should be doing. Again, you understand there's like that dead zone in our culture where I'm not in my parents' house anymore. I'm graduated from high school and I'm not married. So now I've got all this free time and all this money and I can just indulge my flesh. Never, 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 never in the Bible is that ever given to us as an option. Never, never, never. We're called to be sensible and self-controlled, right? It's not a good thing to be a child. It's just a thing that is. We're children. But what happens when we grow up? We're supposed to put away childish things. We're not supposed to still act like children. We're supposed to put the childlike ways behind us and we start acting like men. Like men. Be engaged in good works and help others who need your brawn and your brains, like the older people in the church whose backs are giving out, like the younger ladies who need protection and need the love of brothers, like the children in the church who need a godly example and need someone to get down on their knees and talk to them. None are allowed, having tasted of the things of Christ, none are allowed to be self-serving and indulging of our lusts. Two scriptures, Galatians 5:13, the apostle says this, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And then 1 Peter, where Peter writes, "For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men." Our job, men, women, old and young, our job is tremendous. Our calling is tremendous before us this day. You watching the news? You watching how our culture is spiraling out of control? And one abuse is answered with another abuse? What's going to stop it? The answer rests with you. You obeying the Lord. You shining forth the light of the gospel, controlling your flesh, and living like a Christian supposed to live so that the light of the gospel goes out, so that Americans who sit in darkness, who think that the greatest place on earth is America, can be introduced to Jesus Christ and become citizens of His kingdom. That's what they need to hear. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You for the day, and we thank You for Your word and pray that You would have Your way with us. And in this word, we pray that we would hear and see and understand and come to know You and love You. Thank You again for Your kindness to us. Bless us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.